Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening. This is your host, Dr. Insel, with All About Service Dogs. I am taking a moment here and looking to get my guest on the phone and having just a little trouble. So we are going to take a minute and we are going to see if we can't get the guest up. Hello, who is this on the 210 area code? Hello, 210 area code? 210 area code, who do we have? Okay, folks, just bear with me. We're going to try to work this out and try to get our guest on the line. I would play some music for you, but I don't have any queued up. Okay, folks, thank you for bearing with us. We now have contact with our guest. Just a little bit of technical problem. And we have gotten it together. So tonight, we will have Miss Rachel, and she is going to share with us her experiences with her service dog and the positive impact that the service dog has on her life. Rachel, introduce yourself, greet the people, and tell us a little bit about your introduction into service dogs.
I'm Rachel. I'm 20. I've had a service dog since January, and I knew nothing in the beginning, and I just kind of got thrown into this world because my dad was, here, have a puppy. I want it to be your service dog, and dropped a dog on my doorstep. So I had to go from square one and owner train, and it's been a crazy ride since December.
It's an interesting situation. So doing
yes.
The math, you've had a service dog now for about 11 months. 10 months.
Mhm.
Okay. Go ahead.
I got her in December on the last consecutive day on 12/13/14.
How about that? That should mean something.
Yeah, I thought it. Like I was like very like I'm like this is a sign.
Mhm. So your service dog and you, you've been a team. It's only been a little less than a year.
Yes.
And it wasn't your decision to have a service dog. It was just, hey, I need for this to be your service dog. So take
we
us from that point.
Go we ahead. Had back and forth discussion in our family that I need a service dog. What is the options? Do we go through a program, and then the only program we could get into with my disabilities only gave very large dogs, Great Danes and Mastiffs, and me and my mother and my father did not want that for my person because I couldn't handle it. I'm not good at handling large dogs, and it went back and forth, and then the other member in my house is the other member of my family in my house, dog had passed away. And my dad is like, oh, my friend went to the puppy place. His girlfriend got a dog. Oh, look, this dog fits what you want. Here, I bought it for you. And then he's like, and then I started training her. And it was a whirlwind of 3 weeks. Because I didn't know any laws. I didn't know even how to train a service dog at that point in time. It was very crazy. But I actually wouldn't change it for the world.
Uh-huh. So when you went about training the dog, did you owner train the dog, or did you trainer assist?
We owner trained. My dad worked for the state, so I had help from canine trainers. My brother-in-law is a dog trainer. My dad's best friend is a dog trainer, so although me and my mother were owner training, I had a lot of guidance and 2 cents and pennies thrown in from everybody all over the place.
Okay, now you said you and your mother owner training. Is
yes.
the dog your service dog, or is the dog yours and your mother's service dog?
The dog is my service dog solely.
Okay, and your mother helps you train.
Yeah, there's things that I need help with because I am hearing impaired to a degree that, like, training her to alert to cars and things that I can't hear, I couldn't hear them to begin with. So I needed help with stuff like that. So me and my mom both trained her together. It was a lot easier. And being in public, training her when she was, well, she wasn't really a puppy. She was 5 months old when I got her. But training her, doing public access, I needed someone to be there and be on the other side. And we created this little circle. And as it got, the circle got bigger, and now I don't need my mom there for me and Bumble to work. But that's how we started it out, as a little circle of me, my mom, and Bumble would work. And then the circle got bigger and bigger and bigger. My mom kept moving away and away. And now I don't even need my mom to be around for Bumble to work in public.
Okay. So you are the dog's handler. It's you. The team is you and Bumble.
Yes.
Not a triad, but just a two-person team now.
Yes, a two-person team. It was just easier for training with me and my reassurance and... It was just easier to train with two people in my situation.
Okay. Now, are there any other animals in your home?
Yes, we have a little zoo going on. The other person that I had said that had a dog that passed away in my family actually just got a Great Dane, which is kind of funny. And we have 3 gerbils, 2 hamsters, a lizard, an inside cat, and an outside cat.
And how was the socialization process with Bumble and the cats around the house?
Bumble is fine with the cats. She loves the cats. They play. Well, the outside one plays with her all the time. The inside cat is a she-devil. She doesn't, like, anybody doesn't want to be touched, doesn't want to do anything. But the funny thing is that she'll put one paw out, and Bumble is allowed to touch that one paw. And they'll sit there touching paws for, like, 45 minutes. I don't get it, but I'd say that's pretty good considering the cat hates the world.
But she'll give the dog one paw and say, we'll be all right since we got to be here together, but you can do it how I say so.
I'm stuck with you. I graced you with my paw, so now be quiet. That's what I think she thinks.
Okay, now, before you got Bumble, what was your dog experience, your training experience, what have you?
My dog experience and my training experience and all that before I got Bumble is we'd had family dogs. I actually had a dog that was mine that died tragically when I was very young. Before that, my dad works for the state, so I was around canine unit dogs. My cousin is a canine unit trainer. I was around those kind of dogs. My brother-in-law is a dog trainer, so I always knew the skills, and I always knew how to handle a dog and how to be around a dog. But I know from being there that I know I don't like handling large dogs. That's why it was so... That's how I came to get Bumble, because Bumble is a West Highland Terrier. She is 10 pounds.
Okay, so you basically don't have mobility issues or anything like that.
I do have mobility issues. I have fibro. I have hip dysplasia. I have disc issues. I have a lot of mobility issues. But the problem is that with my panic attacks and my little bit of sight issue I have and my hearing issues, having a larger dog would cause more issues than it would to save the issues, if that makes sense. Because to have the larger dog, even when I'm handling the other member of my family's Great Dane, it's very hard for me to handle her because I hear her walking and it trips me up and I can't see her correctly out of my vision of my eye line. And it just caused more panic attacks and more anxiety to have a larger dog. Eventually, I will have to, when I retire Bumble, I will have to get something like a Great Pyrenees or a German Shepherd. But for my first service dog, I decided that I wanted something small so that I knew I could handle it. I could go out and be a handler by myself, me and her, go to the drugstore or go to the food store and not have to have someone with me for reassurance or be scared that something was going to happen. And even though the dog is highly trained to be in that situation, why am I going to put myself in that situation to put the dog in the situation to have to leave, if that makes sense?
It makes sense, but I think maybe either I need an education or you might benefit from an education. But the bottom line is, the dog that you have is a dog that you're happy with at this point.
Yes, I am happy with her. I wouldn't change it for the world. We work amazing together, and I have been able to do so much more stuff since getting her. I've done things that my family has just been sitting there with their jaws dropped, just looking at me like, you just walked away from me in a store. And I was at a fair the other day with my father, and normally I am locked arms with the person I'm with and holding their hand and their knuckles are white when I'm in public. And I actually was at a fair, and I said, Dad, I want a snow cone. And my dad gets out $5, hands it to me, and I walk away. And my dad, like, turns his head to be like, oh, we're going to walk over in a second, Rachel. I got to finish what I'm doing because he's talking to someone. And I'm gone. And it was one of his friends from work, and his friend's like, do you know your daughter just walked away? We're talking about the daughter who has panic attacks. She just walked away. And I would have never been able to do that before, and the fair was packed.
Okay. Let me ask you this question that I'm sure, well, maybe you get asked it, maybe you don't. Maybe it's more of a challenging question when it's asked. But I'm asking as a educational thing, because there's probably more than one person in your same situation. And there are probably folks listening tonight. So this will help somebody out. What distinguishes Bumble from an emotional support dog?
She does medical alert. She does medical response. She does retrieval. And she also does quote-unquote psychiatric work. I don't like that label, how they put it like that. She also alerts to, what is the word I'm looking for? Changes in my medication. I'm sorry, I could not bring that word out of my head. Changes in my medication.
And when you say changes to your medication, are you talking about like when you might need it, like when your levels switch?
Yes.
And you might need to take your medicine?
Yes, she can. Okay. She's very good at knowing when I'm going to need my pain medication. Because right now with having fibro, it's a new diagnosis. So I'm now switching between medications, seeing what works. She knows a good 15 minutes before I need my medication, and she'll also tell me at the time I need to take it, because my mom has alarms set in the house that I don't hear. No one hears, but Bumble hears, and Bumble comes up to me and is like, wop, wop, wop. And I'm like, I look over at her and I'm like, is it medicine time? And she runs to the kitchen to where the medicine is and runs back to me and runs to the kitchen and runs back to me and runs to the kitchen and runs back to me. And then I'm like, okay, fine. And if I don't get up, she will howl until everybody in the house knows that I didn't take my medication, and the neighbors will know that I didn't take my medication.
Okay, well, that's real good. And I just want to compliment you there on your ability to just, oh, ESA, what's the difference? Well, boom, 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 boom. Now, you
yes.
might not want to, you know, go all out like that on a challenge out in the world, but that breaking up, hey, it's a medical alert, and that's, you know, that's what you need, and boom, you're out of there, but you did it without letting it trigger your anxiety.
When I'm out in the world, I normally say, if someone goes, oh, it's an ESA, I say, no, ma'am, ESAs do not have public access rights. Bumble is trained to be medical necessity for me. And then if they go, oh, cute therapy dog, I go, ma'am, she's not a therapy dog. Therapy dogs are for more than one person. Bumble is for solely me, and she's also for medical alert. And then everybody's like, oh, okay, and then walks away. And that's the end of the conversation, which is pretty cool. No one ever drags it out more. After I explain those few points, they're like, oh, okay, and they walk away.
A lot of people need to hear that, because there are a lot of people in your situation that, you know, they get stumped up and, you know, they get triggered and they have a problem and they have an issue. And, you know, coming from you, and this is one of the reasons I love having different handlers on the show, is other people get to hear from people who are in their situation, and they get to hear it in real life. And that's good.
I have found, like, when it comes to issues like, oh, is it an ESA? Oh, is it a therapy dog? That's not a service dog kind of conversations. I find that taking it to the extreme bullet points, the less the words to make that bullet point is going to make it so much easier to explain it to that person. And I have learning disabilities. I've had learning disabilities all my life. So I sat there, and it's going to sound strange, but I sat there, and I've had these people come to me, and I got flustered in the beginning, and I got mad, and I cried, and I got upset when people asked me these questions. But I sat down, and I wrote down the question, and then I wrote down my answer. And then I took my answer, and I made it into bullet points. And then I made those bullet points into what they call flashpoints. And I took those flashpoints, and those are the flashpoints I use from that point on. And since I did that, it's been so much easier, and I wish someone had told me that in the beginning, and that's why I'm saying it now.
That is super, and again, this is how we help one another in the community. We go through something, we have a struggle, we come to the end of that struggle, and we learn from it, and we share what we learned with other people, and I, for one, I appreciate that. Now, let's back up just a little bit, actually a lot. And you had the discussion with the folks in your home, your father, your mother, whomever.
Yeah.
About, okay, maybe it's time for a service dog. Or what do you think about a service dog? Or, you know, a service dog could probably help you with that. Or however that conversation went. Could you, without getting into too much of your personal stuff that you have no requirement to share, but could you, you know, give me some of what that conversation was like and, you know, the realization of I need a service dog and that kind of thing?
The realization had always been there, was always around. I was told in middle school that I'd benefit from a service dog from my child study team. I was told by therapists and psychiatrists and doctors even that I need a service dog. And we just kind of always put it off because I was always inside my family unit. I was never really outside of my unit until after high school. And after high school, I was with my dad at my dad's friend's auto mechanic shop, and a big old Mack truck came in, and I almost got hit by it because I did not hear it. And that's when my mom and my dad were like, okay, now it's time to pursue a service dog, because with the problems you were having before, we could – thank you, Bumble. With the issues you were having before, we could have handled it inside our family. You could have always had someone with you, whether it was your aunt or your friend or your boyfriend or the guy down the street. There's always someone around with you. But now you're going into the world and you almost got hit by this Mack truck. We need to pursue getting you something that you'll be able to be in the world and be able to be a functioning adult with, so that you're going to be safe. You're not going to always have to have someone with you.
Okay. And so I don't want to say the straw that broke the camel's back, but the thing that took it from, okay, this is a need to this is an immediate need,
yes,
was basically a hearing assist dog.
Yes.
Because your hearing's going to get you killed. We need to do something about that.
Exactly. That is the exact point, because I lost my hearing because I was attacked when I was 15. And it was always around. That issue was always around. My panic attacks were always around. I had my hip dysplasia and my lower leg birth defects. And I always had issues going around that could have been helped by a service dog. But, like, I was telling my dad, I don't hear cars. I was telling my mom, I don't hear cars. A service dog would help. And then I'm at the mechanic shop, and the Mack truck's coming in, and I'm standing about 5 foot away from the bay door, and the Mack truck is driving up, idling. And my dad runs over and pulls me out of the way and is like, did you not hear the truck? And I'm like, what truck are you talking about? And he's like, he literally turned me around, and I was like, oh. And he's like, I need to talk to your mother. And that was the point where everything changed.
Okay. Now, we're still a little early in the show. And, you know, they always tell you in class that you build up to your climax to the end of the show, keep people interested. But in writing, they tell us, put the goods up front and then build off of it. So I'm going to go kind of in the middle, since we're in the middle of the show.
Yes.
It's been almost a year.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me how Bumble has impacted your life within this year, your life personally within this year.
My life personally, for one, I feel like I found out who's on my side because of my, like, interpersonal relationships with people outside of my family. I lost a lot of people because of Bumble, but it was worth it because now I can go out of my house, walk 3 blocks down, and get a cup of coffee. I could have never done that before by myself. So there was bad things that had happened. I had lost a lot of friends. I have lost interpersonal relationships. I've lost things like that. But in the same vein, I've gained so much independence and I've gained so much knowledge about myself. I actually broke my arm and I didn't know I broke my arm. And Bumble kept nosing my arm and nosing my arm and nosing my arm. And I finally, I'm like, okay, Mom, we got to go to urgent care. We went to urgent care. They took an x-ray. And they're like, you just broke your arm. I was like, oh, oops. And I had no clue. So there are many good things. And I know that's not a requirement of a service dog to know someone broke their arm. I just think it's pretty cool that she knew.
Yeah, actually, she probably didn't know that you broke your arm, but she knew there was something going on. And
yeah, like she knew
knowing,
there was something wrong.
Yeah, and, you know, there was heat in your arm because the white blood cells was trying to heal what the bone break had did, and I don't need to go into all the physicality and physiology of it, but dogs are able to notice those changes that we don't notice. And apparently,
yes,
you have a pain tolerance issue and
yes,
you didn't notice.
Yeah,
but
like,
there were, go ahead.
There were signs that she knew. Like my family always says, they're like, Rachel doesn't notice mortal wounds. Like, I'm like Achilles. Because until that one thing happens that breaks everything. But normally I don't feel broken fingers and stuff like that because of the fibro. It's not the normal pain I would feel. I don't really feel that well. It's because it hurts all over all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And learning how to tolerate the fibro has you at a point where you're like, oh, that's just regular pain. That's not different pain. That's the same
yeah
pain.
Yeah, and one of the cool things that I wanted to bring up about her that has impacted my life is she alerts to asthma, which she came doing that. She actually did it the first day I met her, and I didn't know that's what she was doing until I started training her and trying to train her for asthma. She would bang her head into my chest and when I first got her, and we couldn't figure out what she was doing. And as we were learning and we were writing down what she was doing to find out what were natural alerts and what were other issues going on and what were just her being her as a dog, we found out she could alert to asthma. And I was in the bathtub and it was a hard day and I started to get the hiccups, which normally happens before I have an asthma attack. And I just thought, oh, it's because I had soda. And I wasn't really paying attention. I wasn't really in the moment. I just was like, okay, I got to wash my hair and get this done because I had somewhere to be the next day. And Bumble's laying on my towel next to the tub, and I'm sitting there, and I start to lose consciousness. And I could feel I started to lose consciousness. I stopped breathing completely. Bumble jumped into the tub, put herself under my chin so that my head was pushed back as far as it could so it wouldn't go in the water, and she screamed for my mom. And my mom gave her the command to be quiet and stand down, and she didn't. My mom grabbed my med pack and came upstairs, and if she didn't have done that, I would have drowned. If I didn't have her and she wasn't there, I would have drowned in the tub that day. Which is kind of crazy to think about it, that she was just dropped on my doorstep from my dad.
And so, basically, when people say, my dog's a lifesaver, your dog possibly
really
truly did save your life at
yes
least one time.
Yes.
Well,
she
that
actually,
is cool.
She's
go
actually
ahead
gotten hit by a car for me. Well, not
well,
actually
something
hit by well, not actually hit by a car. She's actually been technically hit 3 times. They actually each time ran over her tail. And she's trained that if there's a car that I don't see that's coming, she's to cross in front of me and trip me. And she tripped me, and it didn't happen fast enough, and she got in the way, and they backed over her tail.
Yeah, sure, hope she doesn't trip you into the car.
She knows how to trip me to make me go backwards. And that was hard to train because she has to go under the foot that's up to, like, cross in front of the other leg and take that ankle out.
Mm-hmm.
And it was hard to train that, but we are glad that we trained her that, because three times it has worked successfully, and both me and her were, although her tail was backed over, she took it like a boss. We were both okay, and if that didn't happen, I would have been hit by all three cars.
Wow. That is an awesome deal for a dog, and I don't have to ask you the question, but I imagine that did awesome bonding for you and your dog, you towards the dog.
Yes. And bonding was hard in general with Bumble because she's 5 months old when I got her. But I don't suggest to do this, but we did this because me and Bumble hit it off on the first day. We wanted to be near each other. We wanted to have a bond. She liked me. She thought I was awesome. And it wasn't just because she was a puppy and I was giving her cookies. There was actually, you could see that reaction that she had. So what we did is I actually had her in a baby carrier for the first 2 months I had her. So for December and January, she was in a baby carrier. And if she wasn't eating, peeing, or sleeping, she was in the baby carrier with me, which I don't suggest to people to do this because it's a really bad idea to do it this way, because we found out later that it can cause more issues than good. But it caused really good with me and Bumble. Me and Bumble are very bonded, and I was in the hospital actually this week, and she couldn't be with me because I went into the ER, supposed to be an in-and-out visit. It wasn't. I had to stay overnight, and she literally stayed in my bed, was crying the whole night, and I felt so bad. And my mom was trying to, like, tell her it's okay, that we're going to see her in the morning, and she's running between my mom's room and my room going, where is she? She's not here. Where's the thing that I need to protect? I need to take care of this thing. Where is it? And my mom's like, it literally looked like you just took a popsicle away from a baby. She was so upset and so sad and so frustrated she couldn't find you. And the next morning, my mom brought her to the hospital, and my mom didn't even have to tell her what room I was in. She knew already. Like, my mom wasn't even leading her. She knew where to go already. And she came into my room, and literally my mom let go of the leash. She ran up onto my bed, and we just sat there doing DPT, like, in this twisted knot on the bed. And the doctor that was there seeing me was like, I wish I had a photograph of that. I've never seen anything like that in my life of being a doctor.
And nobody had a cell phone?
No, no one had a cell phone. No one could take a photo.
My goodness, don't y'all go on one of them TV judge shows, because they're just not going to believe nobody had a cell phone to take a picture.
I know, right?
But, yeah, there you go. Now, I got two follow-up questions.
Okay.
And you might even go ahead and, I don't know, you might answer both of them with me answering one. Now, I asked you about the impact that Bumble had on your life. What is the impact that Bumble's had within your household?
There has been some rough spots with Bumble, and there has been some good spots with Bumble in my family. My grandparents, they were skeptical because they lived with me, and they were skeptical about what could happen. My aunt and her soon-to-be wife, that is now wife, thought it was amazing, lock, stock, and barrel, wanted to, like, buy anything we needed. My dad's the one who got her for me. My mom was in utter shock. It's like, you don't give live things as presents. I was expecting you to show up with a car, not a dog. Because my dad kept saying, I'm getting her the best Christmas present ever. And my mom's like, oh, he's getting her a car. And no, he showed up with a dog. And there have been fights with everybody in my family over Bumble. But now, it's being now 11 months later, and my family has seen her work at my aunt and my aunt's wedding. And my family has seen her work at Easter dinner and at all these family events. Everybody's like, oh, yeah, it's Rachel on Bumble. It's not even like our names are disconnected anymore. It's not like, oh, how's Rachel? It's like, how are Rachel on Bumble? It's one word, Rachel on Bumble. And everybody knows, my family knows, my extended family knows. I went over to my aunt's house on my dad's side, and I had Bumble outside, and I had her hooked to the car real quick because I had to run in and get paperwork for my dad. And I run in, and my aunt's like, why didn't you bring Bumble? And I have a bowl of water for her, and I got treats that are gluten-free and this, that, the other thing, and 9 million other things she had prepared for Bumble already to be there. So even though there were fights and there were issues inside our family, which every family does have those, no one can lie about that. And especially with a service dog and people being disabled inside a family, there are going to be fights and there are going to be issues and spats and tiffles and tuffles and God knows what else. But I actually think that since we've got Bumble, it's actually brought our family closer, because everybody now knows Bumble starts alerting. They're like, oh, go grab Rachel's med bag. Or where Bumble starts alerting, they're like, oh, Rachel, there's an exit right there. Or Bumble starts alerting and Rachel, go to the kitchen, you're fine. Go lay on the tile floor.
And Rachel's done. You had me wondering if you were just taking a breath and about to come back at it, or... Yeah,
no, it was long, but it had to be long to make my words make sense, because my words sometimes don't make sense.
Well, don't you worry about that. That's what I'm here for, to help you make sense. If we don't get it on the first shot, we'll circle around and come back and try it again, like we're going to do right now. Now, you say that your uncle works in the canine unit for the city, doing dog training. And you say your dad works for the city, so you have access to a lot of that.
Yeah, now, I've always been around it.
As far as I know, and I could be wrong because I'm not in your town, that's mostly obedience, guard dog, protection dog, police dog, search and rescue dog. But not so much as service dog.
So, yes, not so much as service dog.
Okay, so I hadn't asked my question yet, though. So when it comes down to the specific task training, where did your help come from? Where did your knowledge come from to, one, know what task you needed to train, and two, know how to train that specific task?
I knew the tasks that I needed from my doctors and my specialists, and I had the idea of where I wanted to go. And actually, it's going to sound awful, but Tatiana Schneider and Bugsy on YouTube is where I learned to task train. I was watching their videos, and I learned to task train from there. And also, there's another person on YouTube, and a couple people on Instagram I had met, and I asked them, I'm like, I can't get her to pick up anything. How do I get her to pick up something? And like three people are like, oh, well, did you try this item first, which was this, she's actually playing with it right now. I'm actually holding it. It's a Dock Dog Beacon, and it's made of plastic, and it has ribby things on it, and they said, well, try that first, because dogs like the feeling of it, and that's why when you throw it for a Dock Dog, they go and get it. And that's how I taught her to pick things up. And I really had no resources to train that, so I just basically went on the internet and started searching, and I found Instagram, and I found a lovely family on Instagram, and I found a lovely family on YouTube, and I found a lovely family in the forums on Facebook. And that's where I learned to task train. But my obedience, my room searching for anxiety, my hearing alert and stuff like that, I did learn those skills from the canine trainers that I know and stuff like that, because it was a lot harder to train that, I feel, than the tasks, because in the beginning, she's a puppy, and she didn't want to learn anything. And then once she had her obedience down, she's like, I want to help my mommy. So she was, like, eager to do whatever she could.
Mm-hmm. I just had to bite my tongue for you right there, but that's okay. I'm going to say, she's a guest. She hadn't listened to all my shows. She doesn't know that's one of my pet peeves. It's okay. I'm going to breathe. I'm breathing. Taking a little break. Now,
what did I do?
You called yourself a dog's mommy.
It's a family thing. We all do it. I like to personally, and I say it on my Instagram, I'm her girl. And if anything, she's my mom. I also hate when people say that they're dog's moms and dog's parents. I think she's my mom, personally. She should be my mom, not the other way around.
Oh, my goodness, again. We're going to move right along. Let's go to, you went over this a little bit, but I want to hit it directly. There came a time when you had to make a decision, program dog, trainer, assisted dog, or owner train, because you had the resources that you needed. Can you take us through that decision-making process? And it might have been real quick, you know, as quick as you went over it before, I'm not sure. But can you take us through that and let me kibitz a little bit as you go through what you're going through?
With my insurance that I have, they actually covered service dogs, which is really interesting. But they only covered three places from New Jersey to Florida. They're all in that area. Eastern Seaboard, I want to say is what it's called.
Mm-hmm.
And we looked into it and we talked to the places. And for what I had and my issues, I would have accepted a Sheltie or a Aussie or what's the other one that I was looking at? There's another breed I was looking at that I can't remember of. And they all wanted to place me with my issues with a Great Dane, a Lab Pyrenees mix, a German Shepherd, I can never pronounce it, Malinois?
Oh, my Lord, really?
Yeah, no something point. That something that large. Mm-hmm. And as I said before, that we did not want to get something that large for me, for being my first dog once one and for the issues that I had. And so I was used to being a handler, and I was used to having a dog with me all the time, strapped to me. Like, she's always with you, she's always near you, she's always on your lead. So getting used to that, we wanted a smaller dog. We wanted something like a small Sheltie if we could go through the program. But all the programs were like, no, with your issues, we're not putting you with anything smaller than a Pyrenees.
Right.
And we're like, we talked inside our family, and we decided that wasn't the right route to go through a program.
And so you said, well, if we went with a program, we'd have to do this. They don't want to accept what we're trying to do, so we just have to train ourselves. And everybody says, okay, whatever, we got the skill. We can train just as well as them. We know what we know. Well, we don't know. We could find out. But let me say this in defense of the programs who I don't know who they are. But you probably told them the issues that you had like you told me. And I am partial to a giant breed dog. I'm just partial to that. But, you know, one of your issues was a mobility and balance issue. And you need a dog big enough to do that. Now, I know you're a smaller girl, but you still need a dog that's going to be able to do that. Now, the dog that you have and the dog that you chose, and I put chose in parentheses, air quotes, because you didn't actually choose him. Your dad chose him, and you said, okay, this is what we got to work with. Let's work. But it does not do all those things. So you have to have somebody else. And so with the accreditation that those groups have, they could not place you with a dog that did not address those issues.
Yes. And at that
and
point
keep
in time,
what they had. Yeah.
At that point in time, the fibro was diagnosed, undiagnosed. I had neuropathy. I didn't have neuropathy. I had fibro class 1. I had neuropathy this. And it was going back and forth. And I did bring all my notes to these people. And they had said that, yes, you can place you with a Sheltie, but they were actually looking for the hearing alert guide side of it, that I needed a dog to be able to guide. They weren't even looking at the mobility future issues. They were looking at the guide needs. And Bumble does guide, but it's not like a guide dog would be pulling me out of the way. Bumble will walk a little bit out of her heel, and I'll look down, and she will, what we call it a turn. She'll make her turn, and that'll be, you need to follow me now. And I'll follow her. She knows how to find my mom in stores. She knows how to find my dad in stores. She knows how to get me to the exit we came into. And a lot of people do frown upon smaller dogs doing guide work by that, but she's never pulling. She's never anchoring me. She's never pulling tension on the leash at all. It is barely tension. I just see her walk out of my heel because I can. That's basically the end of my line is her heel, and I see her move from it, and I see her make that turn. She gives me her butt, and I'm like, okay, I gotta follow her. I don't know why, but I gotta follow her.
Okay, yeah, there are a lot of different trains of thought, schools of thought when it comes to guide dog and, you know, a good heel or good placement of where the dog needs to be and the loose leash and all that. And, you know, it all depends on really what you need and what the dog is able to do. And, you know, what's good for you might not be good for me, you know, and not every organization is right for an individual. Sometimes an owner train is the best way to go to get what you want. Sometimes program trained is the best way to go to get what you need. And, you know, each person has a look at it. And I like the way you guys did it. You did it as a family, of course, as a household. And as you said, you were so clear and clean to say, you know what, it wasn't without its bumps and bruises. But we got it done, and now everybody's on board. And, you know, now the dog is a little bit over a year old. I was trying to do some math there with figures.
It's a year and 5 months.
Well, there you go. Although I would have said a year and 4 months. But, hey, you know, maybe there's some weeks on there that, you know, we didn't add on. And that's why I was trying to add on. Now, let's see. Almost all of us, whether we are a handler, a trainer, a program, we have our little issues. We have our little things that are pains in our rear. And we're running a little short on time, although we did take five extra minutes to get on, so we have a little more time. So I want to give you an opportunity to share some things that might be in your mind, on your mind, in your heart, in reference to service dogs, and I'm just going to take the bumpers off and let you go just as wide as you want to go with it, and take a little bit of time knowing the audience you're talking to is, you know, people on all different sides of the service dog world. They might be trainers, they might be organization, they might be a handler, they might be a family of somebody who has one. So that's your audience. Speak to the people just a little bit about what's in your head, what's in your heart, reference to service dogs.
The biggest thing that comes with service dogs that I have found is we all love them. They all help us. We all know that they work miracles. But it's the general population that's the biggest issue I've found with a service dog. It's the grandma in the car with the cart with her walker going, "My cousin's brother's sister's niece's nephew's sister's brother's mother has a service dog, and it's white too." And then ask you 9,000 questions about what's wrong with you. And it's rough, and you don't want to talk to this person, and you just walked in to buy a gallon of milk, and now it's 45 minutes later with the same woman. And you just got to take that deep breath and go, "Woosah." Just let her finish her sentence and just nicely say, "Ma'am, I'm in a bit of a rush. I need to get my gallon of milk. We're doing something at home." Or the person, I'm 20, I had a boy who was around my age walk up to me and say to my service dog, "Do you think if I give you a cookie, your mommy will kiss me?" That was totally, totally, totally wrong and not right and awful and atrocious and in bad taste. But I had to take my little hat and be like, "Excuse me, I'm sorry, I have to do what I have to do." And then there's the people that are genuinely curious that stop you and go, "That's a service dog? What does it do?" And you hear that they genuinely want to know. So I personally, for those people who genuinely want to know, I have made up business cards that have Bumble's Facebook and Instagram on them. So people can go look it up and see what's going on. And a lot of parents want the business cards when they run into me, because in my town's not very big. They find the business cards and like, "Oh, I want to teach my daughter about service dogs," and they use me, which is crazy. But with the people with the public, it's just, it may be 9,000 questions. It may be really inappropriate 9,000 questions. But no one is actually trying to be mean to you, except for the one person that tried to run my service dog over with their grocery cart in the store. That dude was actually being mean. But most people are just trying to be nice and being like, "I want to know what's going on with you, and I want to understand what's going on." And you just got to take that 5 minutes or that 15 minutes or that 45 minutes with that person and just talk to them. And you can't get mad and you can't get angry and you can't be, but they should know. They don't know, and they really don't. And you just got to take that deep breath and be like, general answer, she's medical alert, she's cross-trained for psychiatric, and she's cross-trained for this and that. Do general answers. And if that's what you have to do, that's what you have to do. But don't get mad at people for asking questions. They're just as curious as you were in the beginning.
That's pretty strong. I wouldn't tell somebody I had a psychiatric service dog, but that's just me. And
well, it depends on the person. It depends on the actual person. Like, most people will say she's medical alert and response. But if it's someone who has seen her do deep pressure therapy in the middle of Walmart, and I'm better and I'm with it, and they're like, "What did she just do?" I have to explain what she was doing. So normally I say she is medical alert, double cross trained, which is hearing alert, psychiatric, and medical alert. So I'll normally say she's medical alert, double cross trained. And when people go, "Oh, double cross trained," I say, "Yeah, for mood and hearing." And then they're like, "Oh, okay." But because I am talking to a service dog forum and service dog people, I did say psychiatric service dog because it makes sense to everybody else.
Right, because a lot of people who are listening have psychiatric service dogs.
Yes.
Which they can tell me right away the difference between them and an emotional support dog, although some of them can't tell me because they are not of the emotional state to be able to do that. But that is an interesting thing. Now, let's see. I heard you say one thing, and then I'll make sure that I didn't cut you off. And if I did, I'll give you some more time. What you said rings to one of the things that I like to say when I give my classes, and that is your attitude can change the whole situation. And I like the way you said it. You know, most of the time, the majority of these people are not being butts. They are not trying to be rude. Matter of fact, they're trying to be kind. They just don't know how. They, you know, don't have the training. They don't have the information they need. And you have chosen a way, which is pretty cool, on how to give a little education by giving them the business card.
Yes.
And that could really save a whole lot of time from you standing for 45 minutes talking to a and really in those situations, a lot of those are just lonely old ladies, lonely old people. Yeah. And even if you did not have a service dog, you know, if they had something that they could stop you and talk to you about and you were kind enough to stop and talk, they would. A service dog is, in a lot of ways, like a conversation piece.
Yes.
Now, to you, it's your life and death. To the little old lady who is, they're not out at the store because they needed to pick up milk. They're out at the store because they need socialization.
Yes.
And, you know, oh, there's somebody, and look, there's something ready-made to talk about.
Yes.
And so, you know, it's all in how you look at it. And you look at it a real healthy way. And I'm glad that you said it like you said it. Now go ahead and keep saying what you're saying.
There are really inappropriate prying questions people ask. Like I've had people ask about really, really inappropriate prying questions. Like Howard Stern wouldn't even say it on the radio. Okay? That's how inappropriate and prying that question, those questions are. And those questions I reserve, excuse me, that's my personal life and my issues and my spot and my whatever you want to call it. And I reserve the right to not answer that question. But if you have any other questions that are not that horribly inappropriate, I'll be happy to answer them. And I have said that to many people. And I will answer mostly anybody's questions about mostly anything with Bumble. But when people get to those really prying, inappropriate questions, I do say, and I've said to many people who I've talked to on the forums and have found me on Instagram who are new handlers, I do say, you can reserve the right to not answer any question someone has for you, unless it's a cop. And then you kind of have to answer. Because it's a cop. But normally you can reserve the right to not answer any question that someone asks you. But in the same vein, you also have to think, hey, can I put my hat on and I can be an advocate right now? Or I can be a teacher right now? Or I can turn this into a good conversation? And being a handler, you have to juggle all those things. And it's horrible to say that, but you can reserve the right to not answer someone's question. You can reserve the right to answer everybody's questions. That's what you decide in your heart. But you got to think and take a minute when you're home and you're by yourself and think, okay, am I going to take this hat and put it on and decide I'm going to do a little bit of avocation and or I'm going to be a teacher or I'm going to explain to this person at the movie theater that this is not an ESA, that I can watch my movie with my service dog. It's all about how, it's really, like you said, it's all about attitude and how you look at things. But I personally try to take the teaching and take the avocation out into the world because people do fake service dogs, and it's horrible. And I had a place just recently tell me I wasn't allowed in the store unless I carried Bumble around, because the last service dog was a Great Pyrenees and peed on the floor and had the NARS patches. And he goes, well, your patches are really personalized. All my gear is custom gear. Everything is custom gear. Even my patches are rainbow colored. And they're like, well, they're really custom, so I'll just let you in anyway. And Bumble was sleeping at my feet, and I had my T-shirts made. And he's like, well, I want to thank you. This is the best service dog I've ever had. All these other teams, they peed on my floor and ate the carpet and did this, that, the other thing. And he's like, and I can't tell them no because they say they're a service dog. And I'm like, I understand that. And I put my hat on. I'm like, I'm gonna educate this person. And I had a conversation with him, and I explained to him his rights and what he can do. And at the point, if the dog is causing a ruckus or eating the carpet or peeing on the floor, he can use the rights he has to do what he can. And I can't remember the laws off the top of my head to cite what he can and cannot do. But I took out the laws and I pulled them up on my phone and I showed him, and he wrote down the web address to where it was so he could read it when he went home. And not a lot of handlers would do that. A lot of handlers would have been like, oh, hell no, and called the cops and had the guy fined for not following the ADA. Does that make sense?
Sure it does. I'm sure it does. Don't give me that look. I can see it through the doggone radio. Now, you said a good lot of stuff. And one thing I like to tell my organization's clients or my regular training clients is a lot of our issues that we have, some of them we bring on ourselves. Now, I place giant breed dogs. Giant breed dogs are going to get attention, especially when it's a giant breed dog with a little teeny tiny person. You know, that's going to get attention.
Yeah.
You're going to get questions.
Yeah.
Don't act like, you know, you're so offended that somebody would ask you a question. And I did a show months ago where I talked about some of these things. And at the same token, small dogs, you're going to get questions. Small dogs are the dogs that are most easily used as fake service dogs.
Yes.
So you're going to get that eyebrow raised. And
I do get that a lot, actually. And like the other key thing about that is that Bumble is not to breed weight and size. When I got her, she had an upper GI and lower GI infection and a double ear infection, and she had Giardia, and she had to have an emergency spay because if she did go into heat, it would have killed her. And if my dad had left her wherever the hell he got her, she would have died in 3 days, the vet had said. That's how bad she was. So having Bumble looking like a puppy all the time, because she kind of froze in time, even though she is adult mind and adult bone structure, we've had the x-rays done, she still looks like a Westie puppy. She still looks like she is a six-month-old Westie puppy. But she is perfect. I can work her. I've had x-rays and blood work and workups and you name it, I've had it done to make sure she was able to work. And I get the, how come you're working a puppy? Or, puppy, 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 where's the puppy? I see a puppy. All the time. And I think it's a little harder because I have Bumble and because of her medical background and her history of having those issues. And I get it. I've gone out with service dogs before I got Bumble. I had a friend who had a service dog and it was a Great Pyrenees. And I've gone out with them, and we get the same amount of attention. I don't think it's any different between large dogs and small dogs, But it's just the puppy mentality. Anybody thinks the puppy, they want to touch it.
All right. And if it's a cute dog, it's a cute dog. And so, you know, we have to be ready for that. And,
yeah.
You know, as a trainer, I train my people as well as the animal. As an owner
yeah.
trainer, you don't have anybody to train you like that. But
no.
I got to give you props because it sounds like you have evolved and you have grown into what we like to have as good ambassadors, because you might
yeah.
be the only service dog team somebody gets an impression about.
Yes.
So,
and that's something I think about. Like, I think everything through. I write everything down on paper. My dad has ingrained that in my brain since I was, like, 3, that if you have an issue, write it down. And I've wrote out to the point of, what happens if this random person that walks up to me is like, my brother's uncle's sister's blah, 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 blah. And 5 minutes later, she gets to the point that this person had a service dog, and she heard about it, and she wants to know what a service dog does. I'm like, what if this is the only service dog this person's actually witnessed with their face and has come face-to-face with? And I try to make every day I go out, and every day I go out into the world, and I have her, and I'm handling her, I try to be like, okay, every person who sees me today has never seen a service dog, doesn't know what a service dog is, and this is their first impression. So I try to hold myself to a standard, and I also try to just believe everybody doesn't never seen a service dog in their life, and everybody doesn't know what a service dog is. Because leveling that playing field, it's a lot easier to not get mad at someone for saying something like whistling from 3 aisles over, going, puppy, 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 don't you want my jerky? And trying to feed it jerky, or trying to feed my service dog a falafel, or trying to feed my service dog schnitzel. I've had all of those issues. So leveling that field sometimes in your head helps a lot. Or before going to a fair or an event or a carnival, just even experienced service dog handlers. I've had friends that are experienced service dog handlers have taken this mentality and it's helped them. Just take that moment before you go in and be like, everybody has never seen a service dog. They don't know what it is. They don't know what they do. They don't know how to act around them. Okay, let's go into this festival.
That's super. And to add to what you're saying, I love what you're saying, and people need to hear it. And that's one reason I'm glad that we save these on podcasts so people can hear them. I tell my people, when people are doing those things, use them as teaching and training moments, not only for that individual, but for your dog. You know, that's
yeah.
a good time to train and test your training of the leave it,
yeah.
of the focus
like,
on me.
Of the leave it, the focus, the eyes on me, the
all
you need to touch my
things.
Hand now.
And then you tell the person, thank you. And instead of being mad at them for like, you
yes.
fool, what are you doing? You know, can't you read my patches?
Yeah.
You know, hey, thank you for giving me that training opportunity for my dog. My dog knows he's not supposed to take something from anybody else or to get
mm-hmm.
distracted. Thank you for that opportunity. And bam, gone.
mm-hmm.
And you're
like,
out of the way.
I,
you didn't get mad.
I,
the dog's not alerting. You can go.
I've had situations where I've had stores actually call and people have gotten fined for what they have done to my service dog. And I try to keep her in what I call tip-top working order. And sometimes, like, this is just recently, I found this out. The Happy Cologne by Clinique has animal pheromones in it. And if we walk through the mall and we go through the beauty section and they sprayed Happy, I will be honest, service dogs aren't robots. Bumble will try and roll in it. And I have to, like, walk through the whole store going, Bumble focus, Bumble mira, Bumble focus, Bumble mira. And I have to go through the store saying this repeatedly. And I look like a fucking crazy, I look like a crazy person walking through the store repeating myself over and over again to my service dog. Let's say Rest Dogs Aren't Robots, and it's a great training situation, and she does leave it, and she doesn't roll in it. But I did buy a bottle of Happy so she can roll in it at home because she loves rolling in it, and I did not know until about 6 months ago, just right after I started taking her in public full-time, that Happy cologne has pheromones in it that dogs are reactive to.
Mm-hmm.
So that is one of those moments, too, that, yes, your service dog's going to embarrass the hell out of you. Because the first time it happened and I didn't know, I was embarrassed. I was red. I literally picked her up and just walked out of the store and, like, literally walked out of the mall, like, straight out into the parking lot and just sat in the middle of the parking lot on one of the islands. And service dogs will embarrass you, and service dogs will do things that are so embarrassing. But when I was in the parking lot, she turned around and alerted to an asthma attack. So I know she didn't mean it. She just got distracted. But now I know when we're in that situation, I have to keep her in heel, perfect heel. I have to keep her in perfect look. So there are those moments. And it's sad to say there are those moments. But service dogs are not robots. We love to think they are, but they're not.
Yeah, and I'm going to bring this on an end on that one. And I'm going to say, we know that service dogs aren't robots. They do lose their training sometimes. That's why many of us offer and do the third-party testing every year. And, you know, we allow people to come in and we evaluate the dog and say, hey, on this day and time, the dog met all this stuff. And that way, if the dog happens to act as though they have lost their training, they're able to say, you know what? The dog did goof, but the dog is surely trained and just had a bad moment. Now, What am I going to do? I'm going to say we're going to have a quick landing, not a long, drawn-out landing this time. Yes, we went long on time, but I'm the boss and we can do that. And I do want to say out of my mouth, number one, for all my FCC people and my good Christian people out there, Rachel didn't mean to let them words come out of her mouth like that. And she just lost her training for a minute. She knows better, and she'll do better next time. And she's sorry. Aren't you sorry, Rachel?
Yes, I am sorry. Like, as you were saying, and I'm like, oh my God, I did say that, and I'm so sorry. I did lose my training.
And so, you know, it happens to people, it's going to happen to dogs, and we got to be a little more loving, a little more caring, and understand that it's all about training. Our dogs never stop being trained. We are always training. We're either training them poorly, or we're training them well. But all our interactions with our dog is training. And until they die, we are training them. And again, it's either good training or bad training, but we are training them. So keep that in mind. Rachel, I want to thank you for being on and for giving us your view and your life experience with your service dog. And, you know, I believe you touched a few people out there. And I just want to thank you for sharing, for being transparent with us, and for being real, and for coming on. And for all my good regulars out there, I want to thank you for listening day in and day out. And I say stay tuned. Press the follow button for those of you who are in on the computer. Follow my broadcast. That way you know when there's a show on. Sometimes if I don't have a guest and I don't feel like doing the show by myself, I'm not just going to come in just to bore you. So, you know, there might be 2-3 days that I don't have a guest, and then you'll be alerted if you press follow, because you're following the broadcast, you'll be alerted when the next show is going to be. But generally, 8 o'clock, Monday through Friday, Eastern Standard Time or Eastern Daylight Time, whatever the case may be, you can find us here on All About Service Dogs. And we'll have your favorite guest. And it could be you if you have something to say to our community. So I want to thank you all for listening. And as always, I love you, love yourself, love your dog, and be good one to another. Good night.